Jeremiah and chapter 5. Jeremiah chapter 5. And as we study, we are constantly to be reminded when you read God's word, you and I are in the presence of God. So as we study and read Jeremiah, way back there, in yesterday, God is right here, and all of that is happening. And God is looking at you and me, while all of that, Nebuchadnezzar's coming down, Jerusalem, Judah are in unbelief. Nebuchadnezzar's on his way. God, you see all of that. You know all of that. I also know where you are right now. So, God, here we are reading your word in the light of all of that. So it becomes very relevant to us. Very easy to read. God, you gave us a record so that we would understand what you did back there. And here we are benefiting from that wonderful record by way of Jeremiah. Now, Jeremiah chapter 5, and we looked at in Jeremiah verse 10, 5 and 10. Remember, the Lord is going to judge Judah and Jerusalem. It is inevitable. It is a must. And therefore, God summons the enemy, as it were, and tells them to come forward. And thus, verse 10, go ye up upon her walls. And remember now, the wall you're looking at is the wall, a spreading out of the wall, a vineyard, a lot of grapes, a lot of vines, a lot of plants. And go up upon her walls, go over her walls, go through her walls. Here's the walls of Jerusalem. Go through them, over them. That's the command. Go do it to Nebuchadnezzar. And go upon the walls. And what are we going to do when we go into Jerusalem? We're going to destroy, consume. We're going to destroy it, bring it to ruin. Literally, we're going to bring Jerusalem to ruins. And that's what's going to happen. And Nebuchadnezzar's coming, and he's been summoned. And Israel, Jerusalem, is not paying attention. Therefore, now we did that last time, so we'd get a grip on the mood and movement so we can understand it. And God is not unfair in what he does. And we are here to bear record before angels, good and bad, to bear record that God was right in what he did by Nebuchadnezzar to Jerusalem. God is right, absolutely right. And we're able to amen it, God, in the presence of all. We agree with God. We agree with God. Now, the second part of verse 10, in the light of that destruction, but make not a full end. Take away her battlements, for they are not the Lord's. And the word battlement means to spread out, the verb to spread, to extend. Take away, think of the branches, vine, bush growth, and all the growth that keeps, here's the plant, and it has all kinds of extending. The plant is extended. The bush, the branches are all over. And that's the word that you have in verse 10, battlements. That which spreads out, that which extends, whether in battle or on the bushes, the trees. And thus, the battlements, the protection, the wall that's around Jerusalem is of no avail that to go up over the wall, verse 10, and take away cut away, knock away, eliminate the wall, the embattlements, the spreading out of that which protects them. Four, reason, God tells you. All of the protection they have, hang on to this, all of the protection they have is their doing. They're trusting that protection. And thus, God makes it clear, Israel was not to be trusting that, but they were. And God said, they will not, your protective measures will not prevail. They will not survive. I discount them. And any enemy will go over and conquer you. And thus, and remember we shared together last time, to keep in mind in the process that God, in his wonderful kindness, made it very clear as we looked at Deuteronomy, etc., that God said, Israel is never defeated except I allow it. And no one ever invades Israel. No one conquers Israel except God allow it. And he made it very clear in Deuteronomy 32, etc. You make sure, all of you that go in, Assyria, Egypt, Babylon, make sure you understand. Make sure you know. I have to let you in, or you aren't going to get in. Now hang on to that part. Now, having said that, over if you would, in the light of that, and we want to take in verse 10, I will not make a full end. I will not do something. What isn't God going to do? He is not going to make a full end. And that means a consumption, a total. God is not going to make a total destruction, elimination, which he has of others. But he will not do that with Israel. He will not make a total destruction. He will not do that to Israel. He will not do it. He's going to make it terrible and you'll think it's the end. But it is not the end. And God makes it over and over clear. What I do is not the end. So don't say that's the end, like Reformed theology would say, that the church, the Israel has become, Israel is now the church, etc., etc. Now, so in chapter 5 and verse 10, but make not a full end, do not destroy. I will not destroy. Over to lock that in, over to chapter 30, if you would, of Jeremiah. Jeremiah chapter 30. And what we're doing is locking in. Do you understand that God makes it very clear of how this is going to go? So you don't have to guess, and history will reveal it. Jeremiah chapter 31, picking up, if I can, please. Excuse me, chapter 30, I should say. Jeremiah chapter 30, picking up, please, in verse 10. Therefore, fear thou not, O my servant Jacob, saith the Lord, neither be dismayed, O Israel. For, lo, I will save thee from afar, and thy seed from the land of their captivity. And Jacob shall return, and shall be in rest, and be quiet, and none shall make him afraid. Good day's coming, but not yet. Verse 11. For the reason how it's going to work out. For I am with thee, saith the Lord, to save thee, though I make a full end, there's your expression, only not of Israel, of the nations. Every nation will come to an end, but you won't. Verse 11 again. For I am with thee, saith the Lord, to save thee, though I make a full end of all nations, whither I have scattered thee. Yet I will not, N-O-T, make something happen, I will not make a full end of you. Used twice. full end of the nations, total destruction, all over. Assyria's all done with. Babylon's all done with. All finished. But not Israel. I will not make N-O-T a full end of you. Now, and the end of the statement of verse 11, but I will correct thee, chasten thee, in measure. The word measure means judgment. I will chasten you, correct you in judgment, and will not leave thee altogether unpunished. I am not going to let it go how you are and what you think and what you do. I'm going to punish you for that, but not altogether. But don't think you're not going to get punished. I am going to punish you. And that's why your city's going down. Your temple's going down. I am going to do it. I am going to do it. Again, God, you're going to say it. That's right. Chapter 46. 46. If I can, picking up, please, in thought, in verse 28. 46, did I say that right? 46 and 28. Fear thou not, O Jacob, fear thou not, O Jacob, my servant, thus saith the Lord. For, why not? I am with thee, for I will make, don't you be afraid, to get the big picture, I will make a full end, same expression, of all nations, whether I have driven thee. But I will not make a full end of thee. He repeats it. But correct, chasten thee in measure, there's the word judgment, yet I will not leave thee wholly unpunished. I'm not going to leave it as if you were innocent. You're guilty. And I'm going to deal with it. But I'm going to deal with it in mercy and in grace. And you need to understand that. Therefore, over to chapter 10 of Jeremiah. In chapter 10, picking up, if I may, in verse 24. I'll even read verse 23, since they go together and they're rather encouraging. Thus saith the Lord, over chapter 10. I was looking at chapter 9:23, and I like it. We'll read it just because as I did that much. 9:23, right across the page. Thus saith the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, neither let the mighty man glory in his might. Let not the rich man glory in his riches, but let him glory in this, glory that he understandeth and knoweth me, personal. I know the Lord is my personal Savior. That I am the Lord which exercise loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, saith the Lord. I want you to know me and understand me and appreciate who I am. I want you to enjoy who I am. Now, back over to chapter 10, verse 24. Remember now, judgment, you're going to be judged. I can't let it go. I've got to deal with it. But I'm not going to make a full end. Therefore, the heart of the remnant of the believer catches the mood. Verse 24, chapter 10. O Lord, correct me, but with judgment, not in thine anger, lest thou bring me to nothing, and I would have nothing left. If you consume me, God, judge me. I deserve judgment. I deserve it. But don't do it. And God said, I'm not. I'm going to judge you, but I will not make a full end. I'm not going to do it all the way, only partially. Watch. Verse 25. Pour out thy fury upon the heathen, the nations that know thee not, and upon the families that call not on thy name. For they have eaten up Jacob, and devoured him, and consumed him, and have made his habitation desolate. They've ruined Nebuchadnezzar. All of them came in one time or another, and did what they did. God, don't judge us totally. We deserve it, and we bend over to get the spanking. But God, don't cut off our head. Now, having said that, over again, if I can, to chapter 14. Chapter 14. And picking up and getting the mood, going, if I can, starting in verse 8. The hope of Israel, the Savior thereof, in time of trouble. God, you're there. You're always there to help us. Why shouldst thou be as a stranger to us in the land, and as a wayfaring man that travels through and don't even pay attention, that turneth aside to tarry for a night? You just stop and keep right on going. God, it seems like you don't care. Verse 9. Why shouldst thou be as a man astonished, as a mighty man that cannot save? Yet thou, O Lord, art in the midst of us, and we are called by thy name. Leave us not alone. God, it seems like you don't care, and you aren't going to do anything about all of this. Verse 10. Thus saith the Lord unto the people, Thus have they loved to wander. They have not refrained their feet. Therefore the Lord doth not accept them. He will now remember their iniquity and visit their sins. Then said the Lord unto me, Pray not for this people for their good. When they fast, I will not hear their cry. When they offer burnt offering and an oblation, that's a sacrifice, I will not accept them. But I will consume, there's your word, to consume, to devour, to destroy. I will consume them by the sword, and by the famine, and by the pestilence. I will not utterly destroy. There's the word consume. Verse 13. Then said I, Ah, Lord God, behold, the prophets say unto them, Ye shall not see the sword, neither shall ye have famine. We're not going to have any problem. All of that God has said by Jeremiah and the others, don't believe that. What do they know? They're always looking at the downside, negatively. Verse 13 again. Then said I, O Lord God, behold, the prophets say unto them, Ye shall not see the sword, neither shall ye have famine. But I will give you assured peace in this place. Everything's going to be wonderful. Then the Lord said unto me, The prophets prophesy lies in my name. I sent them not, neither have I commanded them, neither spake unto them. They prophesy unto you a false vision and divination and a thing of naught, and the deceit of their own heart. Verse 15, Therefore, thus saith the Lord concerning the prophets that prophesied in my name, and I sent them not, yet they say sword and famine shall not be in this land. By sword and famine shall those prophets be consumed. There's your word. They're going to be consumed. They're going to pay. Now, having gotten that part, over to it to Lamentations. Right next door. And Jeremiah is going to the Jerusalem, looking like it's giving it aliveness, as if it could talk, Jerusalem. Lamentations, if I may, picking up, please, in chapter 3. And Jeremiah, as a believing believer among the unbelieving, chapter 3, verse 21, Lamentations 3:21. This I recall to my mind, therefore have I hope. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not, what? Consumed. We're not consumed. Because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. Wow. God, there they are. God, if it wasn't for you, where would we be? God, judge us, but don't do it all the way or we won't even exist. Be merciful to us in your judgment. Chapter, if you would, Malachi chapter 3. Malachi in chapter 3. And God will give them another wonderful word. God is going to do what he's going to do, but he's going to be merciful and work according to his grace and plan. Wow. Malachi chapter 3, verse 6. For I, going directly in the light of the context, for I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob, you are not, what? Consumed. I will not make a total end of you. I'm going to be merciful. I made a promise to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. I keep it. Now, having said that, and knowing, here's Nebuchadnezzar coming in, and don't bother praying. There's nothing going to stop him now. No, nothing's going to stop him. So now, God, here we are looking to you. And God, what do you need? Now, in order to win, what do you need to win? You need a right kind of a heart, and you'll do very well. But if you dishonor God as God's people, if you want God's people, then one army can go against another army, and we can do what you want. But if you're God's, he should get all the glory and all the honor. The battle is his. Therefore, Israel, if you look to God, you would win. If you would just turn and repent, I could stop Nebuchadnezzar just like that. But you won't. Now, what did Israel forget? Do you remember how the city of Jericho was taken? 7 days they went around, and on the seventh day they went around seven times, blew the trumpet, and the wall went what? The wall came tumbling down. Wow. And you remember Gideon? Gideon had all those men, thousands of men. And God narrowed it down to how many? 300 men. And then what did he use for weapons? A lamp, and a trumpet. And what were they to do? Hold up the lamp and blow the trumpet with your right. Hold up the lamp and blow the trumpet. That's all they had. 100 over here, 100 over here, and 100 over there. 300 of them, all spread in three groups. And all I did is blow the trumpet and hold up the lamp. And that took care of the enemy. That took care of that big enemy. And you know, when God wants to, God could do anything he wants. And God took a wonderful fellow named Samson. And just for the sake of exercise, he had Samson exercise himself with the jawbone of an ass, and he killed 1,000. And if you don't think that's hard to do, I suggest you go out and find the jawbone of an ass and hold it. If you think that could kill 1,000 people, all coming at you at once, you figure that one out. They didn't come single file. They came all at once. So, I have to tell you, God, you are limited. No. I try to tell everybody that. If you're going to honor me, let me be honored. Let me be honored. The war is mine. Over now to Psalm 33. Psalm 33. And in Psalm 33, picking up, if I can, in verse 13. And you get the flavor of it. Wow. And the chapter 33, Psalm 33, verse 13. The Lord looked from heaven, he beholdeth all the sons of men. From the place of his habitation, he looked upon all the inhabitants of the earth. He fashioneth their hearts alike. They're all the same humans, 7 billion of us. And he considereth all their works. There is no king save by a multitude of an host. A mighty man is not delivered by much strength. A horse is a vain thing for safety, neither shall he deliver any by his great strength. Behold, the eye of the Lord is upon them that fear him, upon them that hope in his mercy, to deliver their soul from death, and to keep them alive in famine. Our soul waiteth for the Lord. He is our help, and he is our shield. God, why do we forget that? And God, we're trying to make other solutions instead of you being the Savior. We try to have so many things that we disregard you, God. Psalm 147. In Psalm 147, picking up, if I can. You'll get the thought of it again. In verse 10, 147:10, he delighteth not in the strength of the horse. He taketh not pleasure in the legs of a man. The Lord taketh pleasure in them that fear him, and in those that hope in his mercy. That's why the Jeremiah would say, God, we deserve judgment, and judge us, correct us, fix it, so we can get on the right course. But don't eliminate us. See? Over to Psalm 20. Psalm 20. Picking up in Psalm 20, you know. I'll just start with the first verse, because remember, it has to do with the blessing. It's the blessing, Psalm 20, is the blessing before you go to battle. You're going to go to war, Psalm 20, before you go to war. The Lord, hear thee in the day of trouble, the name of the God of Jacob, defend thee. Skipping down, verse 5. We will rejoice in thy salvation, and in the name of our God we will set up our banners. The Lord fulfill all thy petitions. Now know that I, the Lord, saveth his anointed. He will hear him from his holy heaven, with saving strength of his right hand. Some trust in chariots, some in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God. They are brought down and fallen, but we are risen and stand upright. Save, save, glory, glory, victory. Save, victory, God. Victory, Lord. Let the King hear us when we call. God, it's you. You either are going to do it, and we're going to trust you, or we're not, and we aren't going to win. No matter how you cut the cookie, we're going to lose. So, God, it's finally sinking in, and it's going to take the leveling of Jerusalem. The Titus, again, 70 AD, the leveling of the city. And again, in the tribulation, the leveling of all of that which they're trusting in. And thus, God, they're going to wake up. You were the one to help them and protect them. Now, having said that, over if you would, please. On our way back there, go forward a bit, over to 2 Corinthians chapter 10, just to remind yourself of a word. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. And you'll remember the word as we read it. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. I'll read verse 3. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. Verse 4. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Our warfare, the battles we have to fight with inside ourselves and outside. God, I'm not going to be able to handle my own dumb, unbelieving heart. God, you have to. my habits, my thoughts, my worry, my want, all the anguish, disappointment, discouragement, and all the things that come in our heart. God, I'm going to try to deal with them. No, I'm not going to win. God, you have to do it. So I'm going to be looking to God. I'm getting the message. Not just in a battle, in my own heart, the war inside my soul. Peter, God, you have to help me in it. I'm trying to do it myself. I'm not winning. You worry about something, and then you worry about you worry about, don't you? You worry and worry and worry and wonder and wonder and wonder. You're not winning. There's no winning. Our warfare. Over, back over, if you would, please. In your Bible, on your way back, why not stop at Zechariah? On your way back. Right after Haggai, Zechariah, chapter 4, you would recall. You would remember. Chapter 4. What did God say in Ezra, Nehemiah's day, when they had trying to build the temple and had all the enemy around them and a lot of trouble? Boy, God, what was your word to them? By way of the prophets, Haggai and Zechariah. Chapter 4, Zechariah, you know, verse 6. Then he answered and spake unto me, saying, this is the word of the Lord unto Zerubbabel, saying, what are you going to tell the governor? What are you going to tell the priest? What are you going to tell the people? Unto Zerubbabel, saying, not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. God said, it isn't going to be with your human ingenuity and your maneuvers, and you got a big gun, but a big gun in a spiritual war, you don't win. You can kill the flesh. You can blow the thing apart. But the one moving all of that is a spiritual mood, satanic mood. How are you going to shoot that? How do you shoot evil? How do you blow up bad? You don't blow it up. You got to win over it. You got to win. And that's what God has done for us. And Israel is going to learn it. But I'm not going to make a full end so they do learn it. If God just wiped us out, where would we? We'd never learn anything. So now, God, here we are. Over, please, in your Bible, over, if you would, to, on your way back, we'll stop at Jeremiah chapter 1. Jeremiah chapter 1, to remind us. Jeremiah chapter 1. What did God tell Jeremiah? He's going to be, his own family wanted to kill him. The town, people of the town where he was raised wanted to kill him. They put him in prison. I mean, Jeremiah didn't have an easy course. He had a tough road. Wow. So Jeremiah chapter 1, but God told them, don't be trusting you. Don't be trusting yourself and don't be trusting the people. Trust me. Thus, verse chapter 1, Jeremiah, and in verse 18. For behold, I have made thee this day a defense city. One man. Yeah, one man. It'd be like a whole city with a big wall around you. Wow. Now, how are they going to get through the wall? If I put my hand around you, how are they going to get through? How are they going to get you? The evilest evil there is. It can't get through. I've made thee a defense city, an iron pillar. Oh, it doesn't do well. It doesn't burn. You can't burn it. And brazen walls against the whole land, against the kings of Judah, against the princes thereof, against the priests thereof, against the people of the land. And they shall fight against thee, but they shall not prevail against thee. Why not? For I am the Lord, I am with thee, I am with thee, saith the Lord, to deliver thee. And so God, if you're there, it makes the difference. So it isn't the end if you're there. No, no, it isn't the end. No, no, not if you included me. Over if you would, Isaiah chapter 26. In the millennium coming up, God is going to do something wonderful for them. And you know it, in a lovely setting, Isaiah 26, in the millennium, in that day shall this song be sung in the land of Judah, 26 and 1, Isaiah. We have a strong city. Why is it so safe, strong, secure? Salvation will God appoint for walls and bulwarks. God said, now, you had a big wall in Jerusalem, you got that. You don't need to worry about a wall in the millennium. I will be the wall. And no one goes through the wall when I'm the wall. No one. So, remember, like Job put a hedge around. The devil said, you've got a hedge around the guy. That's right. God doesn't have a wall around Jerusalem. You aren't going to do anything. You can't. You can't do it. You can't do it. Wow. Now, in the light of that, and you know the setting of it, open ye the gates, that the righteous nation which keepeth the truth may enter in, to be in a place of safety. Thou shalt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. Trust ye, verse 4, in the Lord, is a command, forever. For in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. God will keep him, verse 3, in perfect peace. So we're going to rest. We need to worry? No, you can't worry. You can't wander. You can't get all upset. You can't do it. God, I'm trusting you. I'm not trusting my chariot of iron. I'm not trusting my whatever. I'm using good God-given common sense in my daily life, but I'm not trusting it. I'm trusting you. Trusting you, God. If you want to know where my trust is, I try to walk carefully so I don't fall off the edge. But I'm trusting you. I'm not trusting how good I walk or don't walk. God, I'm trusting you to get me there. Now, having said that, over if you would please. So here we are. Here we are right now. There's Jeremiah back there. And wow. And God's going to be gracious to the people of Israel. No question. No question. He's not going to make a full end. And they're going to learn that they should have trusted God in the first place. And so here we are, God. So I want to learn too. So, and I don't want you to make a full end, God, of us. Illustration, 1 Corinthians 3. First Corinthians chapter 3. And you would remember, going, if I may, to verse 11, speaking of the Bema seat of Christ for believers. Now, if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. The fire is going to burn Jerusalem. but it's going to revive and come out of the ashes in the days ahead. Verse 13, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. The fire will tell you what's burnable and what isn't. And the fire shall try, put to the trial, proof every man's work of what kind, sort it is. And every man's work shall abide, that which he hath built thereupon. If any man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive reward. So God, we can build upon that foundation. You can't change the foundation. And the cornerstone of the foundation is the Lord Jesus Christ. So every brick, like in the wall, remember, every brick has to be the same brick. That's why we're to be conformed to whose image? The image of our Lord Jesus Christ. We're to be like him. So we belong in the wall. We're in the building. We belong there. Now, in verse 15, if any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. Now, God, let's put Jeremiah 5:10 to work. God said, I'm going to utterly destroy it, but not totally. I'm going to take everything away that isn't of what I have done. And you're going to end up with wood, hay, and stubble. But I'm not going to make a total end. You will be saved as what? By fire. I'm not going to make a total end of you. You'll be saved as by fire. Wow. Now, and so, over to John chapter 15. John chapter 15. Remember, the Lord Jesus Christ is telling you an illustration of relationship, abiding relationship. And that has to do, wonderfully so, with the branch, the vine, and then the branch that goes out of the vine. And thus, John 15, upper room, verse 1. I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. He takes care. It's his garden, his plant. I'm his. I represent him. Every branch in me, in Christ, that beareth not fruit, no fruit, he taketh away, and every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, he prunes it, he gets rid of the dead wood, the shoots, and all the stuff that doesn't produce. It's useless. He fixes the branch. He fixes the branch. He pruneth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. So God, what are you going to do? Well, I'm going to prune Israel. I'm going to prune them. It's going to take a lot of years, a lot of centuries. But time isn't a problem, said to me. Time is no problem, said God. So only to you, because you only have so much time. And thus God, then Israel is going to make it right. And God, what are you going to do for us? Well, I'm going to help you now. I'm going to help you now. I want you to judge yourself. If you judge yourself, you will not be what? Judged. I want you to go and confess your sin. If you confess your sin, I'll be faithful and just to forgive your sin and cleanse us from what? All unrighteousness. And if you do all that, I want you to know you keep all the junk off the foundation in your life. You take care of the stuff that doesn't belong. And if you take care of it, I don't have to. If you take care of it yourself, you judge yourself. And God said, I'll take care. Then I don't have to judge you. And now in the process of that, so God, we're looking to you, and you're going to chasten us? Why can't we just have a nice little picnic all the way to heaven, down the corridor of time? Because you can't. You have to be tried, test, trouble, all the different things that have to happen. And that's how you learn to trust me. If you didn't have that, if you didn't have whatever you have in your life right now, have something, and be glad when something's there, that you have to reach outside of yourself and trust somebody, trust something besides yourself. Be glad for things to get you to trust God. And God will exercise us. He prunes to get much fruit. So, you got the idea? God, you aren't going to make a full end? No. Correct me, God. I don't want you to bypass me. I don't want to go with a whole lot of junk and then lose it. God, I'd rather get clipped now to see so I learn and take care of it. I don't want to take care of it then. I want to take care of it now. No? I want to get rid of it now. So that I don't carry a baggage. Over Romans 8 in closing. And I know, God, I can't. I'm not. I have to take care of it because you're going to have to take care of it. If I don't, Romans chapter 8. Then we have that wonderful, wonderful exercise that God is quite able to protect, to keep, to cause us to be very successful. God is. And now, God, are you going to be an ever-present help? That's what I want to know. Are you going to be like in Psalm 20? God, we know that horses and chariots and weaponry and maneuvering and manipulating and managing in and of and by ourself, flesh, profiteth how much? Nothing at all. So, God, I got that part a little bit. I'm learning it. All right. Now, so, God, drive the nail home. Romans chapter 8, if I may. We know, you know verse 28, all the wonderful truth, but we don't have time. Remember, the Spirit of God is praying, verse 26 and 27, the Spirit of God is praying for all the things you don't even know what to pray about. And therefore, you are very thankful that God is doing what he's doing, so you're very thankful. You aren't trying to be managed, try to think what's going to happen tomorrow, because you don't know. But you're going to be very thankful that God knows, and God's ahead of you. And therefore, you're going to trust God and look to God. You aren't looking for the work, home, school, play, medicine, whatever. You aren't looking for that to be the solution. You're looking for God. You're resting on him, using your common sense and all the rest of it. Uh-huh. Now, and so come to verse 28. We know that all things work together for good to them that are loving God. The believer is looking for God to outwork his goodwill. We love him because he first loved us. And we're looking to God, to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. And we're going to be conformed to his image. Now, picking up, if I can, verse 31. What shall we then say to these things if God be... And I'll have you think of the next two words. What's that say? For us. You got that part? For us. Now, hang on to that. Hang on to it. Now, watch. If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up. What's the words? For us. For us. So... For us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen. Who is even at the right hand of God, who maketh intercession, and then what? For us. See. So I really... for us, God. Here I am back here in the Nebuchadnezzar, and here I am, God, and I'm it's connecting for me. I've got it. For us. And then, if that's true, then verse 35, who shall separate us from the love of God? Shall tribulation, distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, a peril, or sword, any of that? No. But all of those... are weapons of war and disaster and famine and death. But none of those things are a problem. Why? Because you aren't trying to trust your own weaponry, your own management, your own maneuvering, your own mentality to fight. Use your mind, your reason. How good is your reason? I know it's good. You got IQs of 4,000. Is that good? I don't know. Is a 4,000 good? Verse 36, as it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long, we are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. And we win. Israel would never lose if they trusted God. And Israel has had a long journey to find that out. and the difficulty and danger of its of the future is in front of them. And it's going to be tougher than they've ever known. Babylon's going to look like a picnic to them. Wow. Now, who shall separate us from the love of God? You're more than a conqueror. So you're going to trust God. And God never loses. You may be tested, tried, and troubled. But it will not be a full end. You'll be chastened, but not condemned with the world. I'm going to be gracious to you. You will not be consumed. It will seem like that sometime. Woe is me! But it won't be. If you learn, learn well in the exercises to learn to trust me quickly. And you'll be the wonderful beneficiary of who I am. Israel didn't know it. But hey, we certainly have the advantage that they didn't have. Wow. We have Obamacare to worry about. Wow. We'll pray. Perhaps you might have a particular request as we go to prayer. Remember the Bible line, the prison ministry, the literature. Remember the people that come and go. God bless them.